Would like to welcome each of you this morning to the house of God. I'm very thankful for every person that's here, and I pray that God will bless us as we've come together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would rejoice, we would be mindful of that morning over 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose from the grave. What a glorious day, and it's because of that resurrection that we have hope that one day we too shall be raised from the dust of the earth. Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter in Matthew. I encourage you to look in your Bibles at this description that God gives us in His holy word about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think it's amazing that, it's not amazing because women tend to do more and tend to be more spiritual than men. Women tend to do more work than men do. And that may surprise some of you. One or two of you looked shocked. But that, I believe, is reality, that women usually are harder workers than men. The statement is sometimes made that men's work is from sun to sun, but women's work is never done. They work hard. The women that followed Jesus Christ seem to be much more faithful than the men who followed Jesus Christ. It was the women that went to the tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week, and those women went to the tomb very early. The men did not go, but the women went to the tomb. And I want to begin reading now in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Before we read, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to live after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to look back and see and know that Jesus did rise from the grave. We thank You for the great assurance and peace and joy that floods our soul this day. And though during this past week we've been trying to concentrate on the death of Jesus Christ and the sufferings of Jesus Christ, that as we've had the communion service, we've just tried to commemorate His death and His sufferings, we're thankful now that we can, 3 days later, that we can rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for this day and what it means. We thank You more than that. We thank You for Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into the earth to save us from our sins. Thank You for Your sufferings, and thank You for dying on the cross of Calvary. Thank You for taking all of our sins upon You. Thank You for being buried and staying in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. Thank You, Father, for raising Jesus from the grave. And we pray now that as we begin to read Thy holy word, that Thy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that we would hear and understand very special statements that were made by the angel to those women that came to the tomb. And may we hear, Lord, help us to visit that tomb again this morning. As those women rose early on the first day of the week after the crucifixion of Christ, we thank You for these that have risen early this morning and have come into the house of God. And though we already know what happened, we pray that You would help us to go back in our minds and hearts, that we would revisit that tomb where Jesus was laid. Bless us now, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "In the end of the Sabbath," and that was the end of the Jewish Sabbath, which was the seventh day of the week, "in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Now, I want you to think about going to a grave. I don't want you to think about, when I got up this morning, I was just excited and glad to be thinking about the resurrection of Jesus. But I want you to try to revisit, like those women did, how would you have felt if you had been one of those women on the first day of the week and you were going to the grave? One of these was going to the grave of her son. They were all going to the grave of the one that they felt was their Lord and their Master. And if you had been one of those that was going to the grave, that first day of the week, how would you have felt on your way to the grave? How would you have felt? Brother Neil, how would you have felt?
Sorrowful.
I want you to picture your very best friend has just died. Your Lord and your Master, the one who meant more to you than anything in the world and everything in the world, the one in whom you had placed all of your hope, he is dead. And you're going to the grave to be at the grave. There are many people that go and they sit by the graves of their loved ones. There are many people that carry flowers to the graves of their loved ones. And that's what these women were doing. They were going to the grave of Jesus, and they were very sorrowful. They were full of sorrow. Nothing but sorrow. There was no joy in their hearts as they went to that grave. All hope was lost. Everything that they had been thinking about, everything they had believed, was all dashed to pieces as they went to that tomb that morning. They went to the grave. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was an earthquake, a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake." That is those soldiers that they had placed around that tomb to guard the tomb, to keep anybody from coming and taking the body of Jesus away. Those soldiers, when they heard that earthquake and when they saw that angel that was there, they trembled and shaked. "And for fear," the scripture says in verse 4, "and for fear of him," that's the angel that was there, "the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Now, I was reading this last night and I wondered, did they pass out? Did they faint and become as dead men? Or have you ever been so afraid that you pretended like you were asleep and you just laid very, very still? Not sure which one it was, but I'm telling you, those people, all of those soldiers, they were so afraid they could have fainted, or they could have been so afraid they were afraid to move and afraid to look because of the presence of this angel of the Lord. But I want you to know, those soldiers that were the strongest men that they could find and the bravest men that they could find, when they were in the presence of the angel of the Lord, they were terribly afraid. And they lay there as dead men. Verse 5 says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." I want you to think about that. That as these soldiers lay there as dead men, the angel spoke to the women and told the women, "Fear ye not, for," he says, "ye seek Jesus. I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Listen to verse 6 now. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." And then he says, "Come see ye, come see the place where the Lord lay." I want to think about three statements this morning. There are three different statements that that angel made to those women that I want us to think about. And the first one is where the angel said, "Come see ye the place where the Lord lay." And that's what I want us to do before we think about everything else. I want you to think about that first statement where he said, "Come see ye the place where the Lord lay." And when they went down into that empty tomb, and that's what they were doing, I want you to think about the fear, because they did still have fear, even though the angel said, "Fear not." The angel telling them not to be afraid did not keep them from being afraid. As we'll come on down, you'll see that they were still very much afraid. Doesn't God sometimes tell us not to be afraid, and yet we're afraid anyway? Telling someone not to be afraid doesn't keep them from being afraid. A child can be afraid and you can tell them not to be afraid. That doesn't, just the words doesn't keep them from being afraid. The angel told these women, "Fear not," and then he took them down into that tomb, and the scripture says that he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Now, if you had been one of those women and you were walking down into that tomb, I want you to tell me, what would you have felt whenever you were walking down into that tomb? Tell me how you would have felt as you began to go see the place where he lay. I want you to remember now, what does the angel say? What's the first word the angel said right here? The first word, right? I'm sorry, in verse, when he says, "Come, see the place where the Lord wept." That's the first statement I want us to look at. Come. You remember a couple of weeks ago we tried to study how Jesus said, "Come ye apart and rest a while." Jesus didn't say, "Go rest." He said, "Come ye." That is, go to Jesus and rest. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Brethren, there's great joy and peace that goes out to the hearts of God's people when we know and understand God bids us come unto Him. The Word of God says in the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say what? The Spirit and the Bride say come. And we need to know that God tells us to come, just like He told these women here, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now when they got to that place where Jesus was laying, and though they were afraid, there were probably a lot of mixed feelings when they actually looked and saw that Jesus was not in the grave. He was not there. And that's the reason He said here, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not there. I want you to see that Jesus is not there. I want you to look at the place where the Lord lay. I think there were probably a lot of different feelings. I know that they were afraid, but I think they also might have been very full of joy because the hope might have been there. He is risen. They might have thought that. They did not know that. I'm telling you, they did not know that for sure. All they knew was He was not there. So they were afraid when they first began to go into the tomb, and then there might have been great joy when they thought He might be risen from the grave. Tell me another reason. Can you think of another reason that you might have great fear in looking at a grave? How many times have you gone to a funeral? How many times have you gone to a graveside that it made you think about the brevity of life? How many times have you gone to a graveside that you thought about how you were going to die? We are going to die. I think there was a reality feeling there of these women, we're going to die just like Jesus died. But also, though there might be have been some fear about their own death, when they saw that He was risen, there was great joy in knowing they too were one day going to rise from the grave. So when Jesus says, come see the place where the Lord lay, I think there were many things that were learned by those women, and there were many different feelings they had as they went to the tomb and heard that angel say, come see the place where the Lord lay. I would encourage you to go home and think about you going to the tomb that morning and the angel saying to you, come see the place where the Lord lay. You know, the Scripture tells us, not in this passage, but in Mark, the Scripture tells us that when they got there and they looked down in the tomb, that they saw the grave clothes of Jesus wrapped and folded and laying there. You remember that? Now, I think about Jesus. He was not in any hurry. Even when He rose from the grave, was He afraid? Did He think, well, I've got to hurry out of this tomb? I can just picture Jesus rising from the grave and just folding those clothes up and laying them down there. There was no rush because He knew that He was alive. And He knew that those soldiers could not lay hand on Him. And so it is that the first thing the angel said that we want to look at is, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now look at verse 7. Verse 7, the angel continues to speak to these women and says in verse 7, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And I want you to think about that now. Not only did the angel say, come see the place where the Lord lay, but the angel said to these women, He is risen from the dead. That's the whole central theme of Christianity. That's the one reason that we continue and hundreds of thousands of Christians have been worshiping Jesus Christ over the years is because of the truth and the reality that Jesus is not dead, but He is risen from the dead. He is risen from the grave. I want you to turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want us to read just a little bit from 1 Corinthians 15. about Jesus being risen from the dead. He is risen. What's the first thing the angel said to those women? First thing he said that we looked at this morning is, come, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now the second statement that we're looking at that the angel said to those women is, He is risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, there is great comfort and joy for God's people when they know and think about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, which He did, and if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then when we face problems in our lives, it makes us have no fear, because we know if God can create this world, and we know that if God can raise Jesus from the dead, we know that God can take care of every problem that we have. Is there any problem we have that God can't take care of? None whatsoever. Is there anything we face in our lives that God doesn't give us the strength and grace to have no fear? And we need to always pray, God, help me to have no fear. Help me to exercise the faith that You've given me. Help me to trust in You. Remember how Peter says that we ought to obey God rather than men. And we ought to fear God rather than men. We ought to trust in God rather than men. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to notice the thrust of this whole chapter is about the resurrection of the body. Not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection of our body. This whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians talks more about the resurrection of our bodies than any other passage of Scripture. The reality that one day I'm going to be raised from the grave is a great comfort. Death is not the end of life. There are so many people that feel like that once you die, that's it. It's all over. Death is not the end of life, but nothing but the separation of life from the body. It's been depicted, it's been manifested in a lot of different ways, but I think one of the prettiest ways is you think about a little caterpillar that crawls along the ground, that men can step on that caterpillar and they're weak and they're eaten by birds and they're just easy prey. You think about that little caterpillar, and then that little caterpillar, when he goes into a little cocoon and wraps himself in that little cocoon, and then he lays there and it looks like he's dead, it looks like he's dormant, and then what happens after a while? Out he comes, not as another same old caterpillar, but he comes out as a beautiful, marvelous butterfly. No longer does he just crawl around on the ground, but he's able to fly all around in the air. Listen, brethren, you and I as the people of God, we're nothing but little caterpillars, we're weak and frail creatures, and we need God's help every day. But one day we're going to die, and on that moment that we die, the Spirit's going to return to God that gave it. But one day Jesus is coming back, and these bodies are going to come forth from the grave, just like that caterpillar that was going into the cocoon comes out as a butterfly. One day we're going to come forth from the grave, and we're going to be more glorious than any butterfly that you've ever seen, because we're not just going to be made something pretty like a little butterfly. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We're going to be made absolutely perfect. What a glorious day that's going to be when all the family of God's going to be raised from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, in beginning in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Am I talking about the gospel this morning? What gospel? And see, the Bible talks about the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now we're concentrating on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the most intimate part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most wonderful part, the word gospel means good news. The greatest good news there is about Jesus Christ is what that angel said when they said, He is not here, He is risen. That's the gospel that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Have you believed? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in it, and do you stand on that resurrection? And is that a vital part of your belief, such a vital part that you can say, like the Apostle Paul, O death, what? Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because we understand that Jesus Christ has overcome death, and we too shall have no fear of death, and have no fear of death. So he says, I've declared this gospel unto you, wherein ye stand, you believed. Verse 2 he says, by which ye are also saved. Can you be saved by the gospel? Is there a salvation that comes through hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Indeed there is. What are you saved from as a result of this gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What are you saved from, Brother Wendell? What are you saved from? Amen. Amen. I have no fear of eternal hell whatsoever. No fear of our sins being upon us because Jesus took our sins upon Him. No fear of death. Brethren, there is a great salvation, and in fact many salvations that are in the hearts and minds of God's people who really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only do we believe that we are saved from our sins because of His resurrection, not only do we believe that we're not going to be left in the grave because of His resurrection, but because He is alive, we have no fear of what we face every day. If we really believe and lay hold on the gospel of the resurrection of Christ, we sang that song in many songs, He lives, He lives. He walks with me and talks with me. It saves me from fear of my sins. It saves me from fear of the grave. But it saves me from fear day by day as I face things in my life. If I hold on to that gospel, if I believe that gospel, I won't be afraid as I walk here in this world, because I know the one who died for me, the one who rose from the grave, He is with me today. And that's the beautiful gospel of the resurrection. And He says, by which, by this gospel, also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, and yet unless ye have believed in vain. Do we sometimes forget the power of God? Do we sometimes forget that Jesus is alive? Do we sometimes forget that Jesus is with us? He says, you're only saved by this gospel if ye keep it in memory. If you're not thinking about, not just once a year, but if every day you're not thinking about He is alive, He's real, He's with me today, if you're thinking about that, it casts out all fear. But if you're not keeping it in memory, you're going to lose this salvation that comes by keeping it in memory. As long as you remember, listen, you don't lose your eternal salvation because you forget that Jesus rose from the grave. But you do experience a lot of hell here on this earth if you're not keeping in memory that Jesus is alive and with you right now. So He says, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Can you believe it and then forget it? Can you believe it and then not be thinking about it and fall right back into fear? Indeed you can. So He says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What did Brother Wendell say was the first thing that it caused him to be saved from? Fear of being in his sins anymore. No longer afraid that I am in my sins. No longer afraid that my sins will send me to hell. The reason I have no fear of eternal hell is not because I've done something, but it's because of what God has done for me. Jesus died for my sins, and I have no fear of eternal hell because of what God has done for me. That's the first part of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4 says, and that He was buried. And that He was buried. I want to just pause right there. You know, I was thinking about different people that were raised from the grave last night. Do you remember anybody in the New Testament that was raised from the grave? One was Jairus' daughter. Do you remember that? Jairus' daughter. Now, they were still sitting around her bed right after she had just died. Do you remember? She had just died, and she was raised from the dead. Now, did she stink already when she had just died and they were still sitting around the bed? Was there any stench there? No. Was there any decay there? No. She, as far as they were still hoping, maybe there's life there. There was no life there. She was dead. The Bible declares that she was dead. But what did God do? God came and lifted her up, and she was made alive. Then we read about a second person that was a little further along in death. Now, what do you think I mean when I say a little further along in death? Was that woman that had just died, was she not really dead? She was dead. Now, once you get dead, that's as dead as you can get, except in this sense, that the longer you're dead, the more you putrefy. The longer you're dead, the more decaying and decomposition that takes place. There had been no decaying and decomposition in that little girl's life, Jairus' daughter that had just died. No decaying had taken place there. And then we read about another woman whose son had died, and they were on the way to the grave with that son. Do you remember as they were carrying that casket to the grave? Now, he had gone much further than Jairus' daughter, but he wasn't any more dead. I want to get that across to you. He wasn't any more dead. Jairus' daughter was dead. But because of his death, he was further decomposed. And brethren, I believe that there are some of God's children that are very, very putrid. You remember Lazarus? Now, was there a big difference in... Now, there was no difference in whether Jairus' daughter was dead and Lazarus was dead, was there? Were they both dead? They were both stone dead, graveyard dead. But there was a difference in the severity of the decomposition of the body. And I think there's a lot of difference in the seriousness of the sin in God's people's lives. There are some people that are like Lazarus. Do you remember what the women said and what the people said when they went to the tomb of Lazarus? By now he what? Stinketh. Now, he wasn't just on his way to the grave like that daughter of the woman whose son had died. He wasn't like Jairus' daughter. He had been buried already and had been in the grave, I believe, for 4 days. Isn't that right? He had been in that grave for 4 days, and everybody knew and understood, by now he stinketh. By now he stinketh. They were all dead, but there were different degrees of decomposition and putrefaction and stinking that took place. And I think the same thing is true in all of God's people. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. But even in that dead state, and I want you to remember, we were dead, and being dead in trespasses and sins, that meant that we had no hope of ever living again except God come and deliver us from that death. But we were dead, whether you consider one being dead like Jairus' daughter, or dead like that woman's son that was on the way to the grave, or dead like Lazarus who had been in the grave for 4 days, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus was dead. He was buried. He had been put in the grave and had been there for 3 days and 3 nights. Let me just pause right here and mention this. There are people that talk about Good Friday and they say that Jesus was buried on Friday. I want you to know the Bible says that Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Does everybody understand that? Now, he arose what day? Before daylight on what day? On Sunday morning before daylight. It's like we came here before daylight this morning. Jesus arose before daylight. Now, he was crucified on Thursday, and he was buried on Thursday. That was the first day. It was Thursday. That was the day. First day he was in the grave was Thursday. It was still daylight when he was actually buried. And then Thursday night was the first night. Everybody follow that? And then Friday, during the day, was the second day that he was in the grave. Friday night was the second night. Saturday during the day was the third day that he was in the grave. And Saturday night was the third night. And then he arose while it was yet dark. He arose early in the morning on that Sunday. And it's a minor thing in a way, but it's important that we remember exactly what God's Word has to say. He didn't die on Friday. A lot of people think, I think most Christians today believe that Jesus died on Friday, and we call it Good Friday because he died. No, he didn't die on Friday. He died on Thursday because he arose. He was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights and arose on the first day of the week. Now, and there's no other way you can get 3 days and 3 nights out of if you try to bury him on Friday, then you've missed 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Aren't you glad that we can hear the message that that angel said to those three, those women? The first message was, come see what? Come see the place where the Lord lay. Come look at it. Come look at the grave. I want you to know there was a grave there. I want you to know Jesus was in that grave, but on that morning, Jesus was not in the grave. I want you to remember not only that the angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay, but the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. And he is risen. And that's the main hope we have, is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the third statement that angel made was, he, and I'm not going to go back and read all of that, but it's in the same verse, in Matthew 28, verse 7, the angel said, he goeth before you. He goeth before you. Now, I'm glad that he died and saved me from my sins. I'm glad he rose from the grave, and I'm justified by the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad he's alive today, and I know that he goes before us today, doesn't he? One of the songs that we sometimes sing is, each step I take, what? My Savior goes before me. I think that song came from this expression where the angel said to those women, he goeth before you. And when I got up this morning, I thought, kept thinking about that statement. He goes before you. Don't be afraid. He's in front of you. He goes before you. Just follow Jesus every day of your life. He's with you. He is not going to leave you alone. He'll give you the strength and the grace you need every day. And you'll be saved from fear if you'll believe that he is not here in the grave. If you'll believe that he is risen, and if you'll believe that he goes before you, you'll have great peace in your soul. May God help us to believe what that angel said to those women on the morning of the resurrection, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.